The following program deals with military and veteran issues. All comments and opinions expressed on this show are those who made them. They do not reflect the opinions of the Church of Satan or Radio Free Satan. So on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Inferno Legion podcast. Last month I said it was episode 4. This is actually episode 4. And that's going to be a running theme throughout this entire episode, is correcting mistakes that we've made in the past. So before I get started any further, my name is Jeff Bowling. I am the National Commander for the Inferno Legion. And with me as always is my lovable co-host, Dwayne Burns, and our wonderful producer, Warlock Jeffrey Ivins. Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm going out of my fucking mind. I'll be a Floridian here in another couple weeks. Packing up the family, selling the house, moving to Florida.
Poor bastard.
Yeah.
Poor bastard.
Woo. All right. So, how's the month been for you guys? Jay Nothing, how's your month been?
It's been pretty good. I've been... Still active with the Sea Cadets and stuff like that. Still got the trip down to Fort Pierce for seal muster next month. And then my next trip will be down, after that, will be down to the Devil's Rain in December. Other than that, everything's been quiet.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Sometimes no news is good news, right?
Yeah.
How about you, Mr. Burns? How's your month been?
I'm going out of my fucking mind, actually. just get the stuff done for my move and whatnot. It's going to be a big move, but it's going to be a great one.
Well, actually, before we jump into the problem of the month that I want to discuss. Since you're getting ready to make the move from Ohio to Florida, why don't you guide the folks through how moving works within the VA so that they know what forms to fill out?
Well, moving through the VA, I mean, if you know where you are going, you can go to your local VA office, and your local VA office, even though you cannot check out your packet, they will keep your packet in that office, but they will make a copy. And my thing's probably 2.5 feet thick, but they will make a copy of every goddamn piece of paper they've ever gotten from you, and they will send it down to where you're going. Or you can wait till you get there, you get to where you're going, and you inform them what county office you are coming from, and then they will contact that VSO, Veterans Service Officer. They will ensure that, that they'll make their identification known of who they are, and that the stuff's being properly channeled, and they will get the stuff their way, you know, through their office. You can do it either way.
Right on, right on. Well, it kind of ties into what I wanted to discuss for this month, which, so I recently just finished going through a process with the VA because they claimed that they had overpaid me on my disability for a long time. So let me set up the scenario for you. I met this woman back in about 2006. We got married in 2008, and I got out of the Army in 2011, and for some reason, when we got divorced in 2016, the VA, now mind you, I submitted the divorce paperwork to the VA, but the VA stated that they had been overpaying me, and because they never received a divorce decree, they were counting it from the first month that I started receiving disability benefits through the VA, versus any time thereafter. So basically, they were saying that the second I became a veteran, I was already divorced and wasn't entitled to any dependent compensation for my now ex-wife. So I go about through the whole rigmarole with them. I had to submit a a request for a waiver in order to stop the money being taken out.
Collections.
Yeah. And I had to submit the divorce paperwork again, and I had to submit a I forget what the form number is, but there's a VA form. I think it's like 2180 or something like that. That was basically saying that I didn't owe this debt back. And I've been dealing with this for about 2 months altogether, and this month is finally when it got cleaned up. But through the course of this process, what I discovered is that the debt collection arm of the VA, when you call their hotline that's on the website, it is staffed by people who are independent contractors working from home.
The same people that would call you, say, from a debt collector that you defaulted on a Visa card for. We're calling on a legal matter to talk to Jeff Bolin about. I get you. These people have no federal work experience in the VA area. Don't know what the fuck they're talking about. You could tell them VA form 2018, and they would go, oh, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Exactly, yeah. And one of these gentlemen that I spoke to, I use the term gentleman very loosely, was a complete asshole. And by that I mean, not only did he not know anything about the process or what was going on with it, but he acted like he did know for about 30 minutes.
Well, because his company gives him a commission on the monies that he's able to recover from you.
Yep.
Now, fortunately, I did get my paperwork back from the VA saying everything was squared away, everything's good. I'm actually owed a rather large back pay payment next month.
Well, good. You're coming down to Florida.
Right. But this highlighted quite a few issues within the system for me. You know, obviously, like I said, the one of people who are in no way connected with the VA and are working from home handling this. But the last time I spoke to this individual was, like I said, 2 weeks ago, and I am still waiting on a call back from his supervisor for the way that he handled himself in that.
You won't get it.
No, of course not. Of course not. So sometimes paperwork slips through the cracks, and sometimes these things happen. But Dwayne is our resident paperwork expert with the VA. How can one ensure that they don't end up in this kind of situation?
Always, always, always keep every piece of paper they give you. Make copies of everything. I don't give a shit if they give you orders and your order numbers written down on a napkin. You fucking save it. And it seems like, oh, I'm going to become a pack rat, blah, blah, blah. Get a file system. But save every goddamn thing you receive. Because one day you're going to need it. And it's something that Jeff never thought he'd need.
Yeah.
He found out that he needed it. He found the paperwork. And if he didn't, his ass would be in deep shit. You know?
I am very
save
fortunate.
Everything.
Speaking of moves from state to state, I am very fortunate that the USPS screwed up every single time the VA sent me a letter, because they were sending it to my Vegas address, even though they had my Ohio
well,
address.
Well, you didn't receive it. You had no knowledge of it.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
they were not guilty of anything.
And they were guilty to me. But they're not supposed to forward.
They're not supposed to forward federal documents.
So, yeah, it was kind of a clusterfuck, and I'll admit, of course, you know, procrastination kicks in. You don't want to handle stuff right away. And that's my number one piece of advice to people, is the second you know there's a problem, get on it and start handling it right away. This would not have gone on as long as it did for me had I done that. But, it's a very interesting situation. And I'm not really sure why. Because, I mean, when you enter the VA system as a veteran,
you get a date stamp.
Yeah, you have to give them copies of all this stuff. I had to give them a copy of my marriage certificate.
Right.
So why they would think that the divorce was basically the day after I gave them a marriage certificate is beyond me.
The reason why Jeff says to get on that stuff is like I just said the word date stamp. When you get on something, you get a date stamp. And that date stamp is for good things. If they owe you back money, that money will go to that date that that was stamped, be it 5 years ago or be it 2 weeks ago. All that will go back to that date that you submitted and you did what you needed to do.
Yeah, it's definitely important to, like I said, get on it right away, like Dwayne said, to make sure you save every piece of paper, especially ones with dates on them.
Dates on them, order numbers, yep, anything. Everything.
I think another big part of the...
A lot of people have had problems because 20 years ago, St. Louis flooded. And St. Louis was the record repository, what word I need to use. But that's where they kept the old DD-214s.
I thought it burned.
Ambiforms prior to 214.
I thought
and they... World War II guys, Vietnam, Korea, all their records got wiped the fuck out in this flood. And because you saved that piece of paper... You just gave the VA the ability to grab that paper again and put it back into the system where it would have been lost forever. Right. Always, always, always save everything. And like I said, I don't care if it's a napkin with an order number written on it. That order number might be something you need.
Yeah, and I think important thing to remember, too, is that you can record any of this stuff with your county recorder. And most county recorders don't charge you anything to put it in. They might charge you like a dollar to take it back out, but they don't charge you anything to record it.
No.
And
but once you record it there, it becomes public record.
Right, right. So I initially took my DD-214. I took my every time I've gotten a new updated, disability agreement or whatever, I took that up there, took my marriage certificate, took my divorce paperwork, all that stuff is on file with the county recorder. Now I have a new stack of paperwork about, an inch thick or so, and all that's going right to the county recorder office as well.
And as it should. Also take it down to the VSO down and get it put in your vet folder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it's one of those things because obviously, the VA itself is not going to get flooded or catch on fire now because everything's handled digitally.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they're not still going to lose paperwork like they apparently did with me. And it doesn't mean that your house isn't going to get flooded or catch on fire or whatever. So make sure you record that stuff. Make sure you record it. And also, the way that I was able to actually get this settled and figured out was I stopped dealing with the debt collection arm of the VA, and I started going directly to the VA itself and calling the hotline. I don't have the number in front of me, but calling the hotline and
8-8-2-7-1000, I believe it is. It's 1-800-827-1000. And that'll deal with all your benefits questions. That'll give you information on suicide hotline, everything.
Yep, it's the waiting room for the entire VA, if you want to put it that way. Once I stopped trying to follow the channels that were written on the paperwork and just started finding my way through it myself, it was a relatively easy process. Once you get a hold of someone who directly works for the VA, they know the answers to this stuff, and they're more than happy to help you out, even if the process is still an agonizing one.
There's also things you can do, and this is I'm getting off like I usually do on a
tangent
or off on a side road, but you can also, if you have problems as Jeff did, you can choose to have agencies such as the Purple Heart, AMVETS, VFW, American Legion. All those guys, they have people who have the ability, if you sign paperwork, to become your power of attorney and to be able to deal with all that shit. And those people, like for Jeff and I, Jeff Bowling and I, being in Ohio, our central VA hub is up at the federal building up in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same place that all of these power of attorneys are, be it the Purple Heart or whoever you have designated. Those people, you can call them up and say, John, I need you to run down to records office, down to the VA's office, and I need you to get this paper for me. And he can fax it to you, send it to you, sign it, send it back to him, and he can hand deliver it as you, because you made him a power of attorney. Right. And it saves you a lot of bullshit.
And there are also, on that same kind of path, there are a vast number of veterans who are getting out of the military, going to law school, getting their Juris Doctorates, becoming attorneys who specialize in dealing with things like the VA and with the military itself. And so, yeah, oftentimes you can get a hold of them. And many of them run entire attorney firms, lawyer firms, specifically for these types of things, specifically for disability claims, specifically for, you know, withholdings, for all this kind of stuff. There's a whole world of them that I didn't even know existed until I started having this issue with the VA. So there are definitely resources to help. And like we always say, you know, reach out to someone, talk to someone. And that's eventually what I had to do. I just had to talk to about 100 people, and the situation resolved itself.
I never got a call.
Well, no, because I was talking to attorneys.
You
know, although I almost did give you a call, because just like right now on the show, while we're trying to advise people on how to do this, when I had to sit down to fill out the form, I couldn't remember the fucking number. So I almost called you that day to figure out what's going on. But yeah, it was a wild ride, and it just goes to show that, you know, even though we come to you every month and we discuss these types of situations and we tell you that we're here to help you, we go through them just like you go through them. And that's how most of us have learned how to navigate this process, is because we've been through it. And man, sometimes you don't realize just how much money you're actually owed, like Dwayne tells us every month.
Yep, you don't.
Well, that's my fun VA story for the month. Any of you guys got any more VA-related stuff?
I'm still getting harassed for my application to the Church of Satan and my joke on it.
Passes to Moses.
I'm still getting harassed for that shit. Thank you.
Well, you know, Jesus saves.
Get it?
He shoots, he scores.
Fuckers.
Hey, Jeff, you got anything interesting happening with the VA and you?
No, not actually. I've got two appointments coming up next month, and my knees are starting to irritate me a little bit more, so I'm going to talk to the doctor and see if he can get me on some knee braces or something like that, and see where
it
goes from there.
If you can do it, Jeff, if you can swing it, you can drive the 2 hours, go over to Bay Pines.
Well, I use the Tavares Clinic, which is out of Orlando.
Yeah, I understand, but go over to Bay Pines. It's a full hospital, and you would not believe the resources they got available over there.
Well,
Bay Pines is actually who got the people at Bay Pines, are actually the people that did the C&P and everything, got me my 100%.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even in Florida when I found out I got my money. Florida had to track me down and tell me that I had the money, and you know, like the bank account, going and checking the bank account and having, you know, all that money that I've spoken about in the past in there. I mean, Bay Pines is an excellent, excellent place.
Oh, I know. But it's just, I've got, I the doctor that I use at Tavares out of the, we're out of Lake Nona, the hospital down in Lake Nona, and so far, everything's been going good with them, so.
All right, well, some of those doctors travel from Bay Pines.
Yeah.
And go to these satellite locations.
Are your knees, your knee issues, are they service connected?
Yes, they are.
So if they're starting to act up more, could you not try to increase your compensation?
That's the goal. That's the goal. Gotcha. All right. But also, like we discussed last month, clothing allowance.
Oh, yes, for the knee braces.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, you're entitled.
Yep. So, and this doctor does a lot. He's really good. If there's anything I need, I just tell him, and he basically hooks me up.
Right. Excellent.
Just watch out, because Florida is so easy at giving pain meds and stuff.
Oh.
That's where I started my morphine down there. And they put me on it down there because of the regulations and stuff in the state. I don't understand how federally they weren't regulated better.
But yeah, well,
they started me out on 2 15-milligram tablets a day. And like you've heard many times, and I say probably once a broadcast, I was up to 4 100-milligram tablets a day.
Yeah.
And it fucked me up. The withdrawal, everything else.
Well, he had
me. You don't want to get into that. If they offer you pain meds, try to do something else.
That's why I'm looking at doing knee braces, because the other half has got kidney problems now because the pain pills that he was on.
Right.
So
that's rough.
And I mean, he was taking pain pills for herniated disc and everything else like that. For a while, I was on ibuprofen, 800 milligrams of ibuprofen.
That's just Ranger candy. You can take up to 1600 milligrams of ibuprofen safely. As long as you have something on your stomach, eat a piece of bread,
yeah,
or drink a glass of milk, it won't tear you up.
A bottle of Motrin a day.
Yeah.
that's what it classifies as when it becomes 1800.
Yeah.
1600. Your ibuprofen classifies as Motrin now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it's just I didn't want to fall into that realm.
Yeah, you don't want to do it, buddy, because I do not wish the month and a half long of withdrawals that I went through on anybody.
Yeah.
Unless anyone be listening to this and think that Dwayne and Jeff and I are just broken down old men who can't do anything, we can still whoop your ass. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
Speaking of ass kickers, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with our Wicked Warrior of the Month right here on Radio Free Satan.
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and Year One Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us. For we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might!
Hail Satan, full of might!
Our allegiance is with thee!
Cursed are they,
the God adorers, and cursed are the worshippers
of the Nazarene eunuch.
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Manifesto coming at you, two-fisted from the Double Cross Ranch. Got a beer in one hand, a microphone in the other.
What, are you in love with my ass or something?
The Chick Hagan Road Show, the finest in rockabilly, psychobilly, vintage country, swamp rock, surf rock, doo-wop.
Well, man, it is now official.
Chick Hagan Road Show, Radio Free Satan.
Okay, Wikipedia search, hardcore punk genres. What do we have? Christian hardcore? No, thank you. Mathcore? What the? Nintendo core? Really? Ah, forget it. I'm just gonna play stuff I like. This is Citizen Matt, your host for Furious Sound. Join me as I explore 40 plus years of angst-ridden punk rock from, well, most of the subgenres, right here on Radio Free Satan.
Jay, go fuck yourself. I'm not even reading that in a chat room. You're a douchebag.
RadioFreeSatan.com.
Welcome back to the Infernal Legion podcast for the month of October 2019. And you know, October has a pretty important holiday at the end of it, known as Halloween. And when you're celebrating Halloween, the idea is that you want to be as scary as possible. So to that end, we have a guest.
Don't fucking do it. Don't do it, Jeff.
We have a guest on here that will absolutely terrify you if you put a banjo in his hand and give him a glass of moonshine.
Oh, absolutely.
Please welcome Wes Vanderpool to the show. Wes, how the hell are you, man?
Good. How are you, gentlemen? Life is dreamy. Banjo and moonshine. There's nothing can go wrong there, you know. You start hearing people squealing like a pig, then we gotta talk. But
hey, we have video of some of those good times.
Yeah. That was one time. Oh, man.
So, Wes, you were in the Army National Guard, right?
I was, yeah.
National Guard for 6 years, I believe?
Yeah, 6 years of just wonderful dreaminess.
So, why don't you tell us about what got you interested in the military? What caused you to...
Well, I had a lot of family that was in the military. One grandfather was in the Air Force. The other one was in the Army. Both served in Korea. And not have an uncle that was in the Navy and another uncle that was in the Army. So when it came time, you know, I knew eventually I would do it. It was just which branch. And I actually went into a recruiter's office in the to join the Army. Regular Army, and the Army recruiter wasn't there. There happened to be a guard recruiter there. Hey, man.
You'd be surprised how many times I hear that same story.
I was a recruiter for part of my time. I can relate. I've done some of that dirty bastard stuff myself.
Hey, come join the guard. It's basically the Army.
Yeah. Look, you have to stay at home.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you'll never have to go anywhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all that lovely shit. And that
if you
was
go to war, it's the governor that says you go, not the president.
Yeah, you'll never go. Well, that was 1999, and then
Jesus Christ,
9/11 happened, and that all changed, of course, and ended up drawing the long straw and didn't have to go to Iraq, but went to Kosovo for a year.
Nah.
Not quite as interesting as the desert would have been, I'm sure.
Well,
I heard actually there were a lot more rules over there in Kosovo, too.
There was, but a lot of the engineers, we, you know, do engineer shit of where we just didn't care much as...
Engineers, we needed your engineer ass over there to get the damn IEDs out. What the fuck were you doing in Kosovo?
Yeah, man, you were supposed to catch shrapnel for us. What the hell?
You would think.
I'll never remember flying that.
So you were a combat engineer, or did you have a specialty?
Yeah, combat engineer.
Right on, man. Right on.
Yeah.
Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Loveliest place on earth. You know, that there's a reason they picked that place to film Stripes. So.
And call it Fort Arnold.
Yeah, exactly.
So you, when you went in, it was 99 when you went in. Were you, like, fresh out of high school, or?
I was, yeah. Yeah, just graduated high school and thought, what the hell, let's go to the Army and get basic training and shit out of the way. And, you know, I bought that whole hook, line, and sinker thing of, oh, you'll never go anywhere, and you'll be home, and... And so I
thought, okay. Let's have a Bill Murray reference from Stripes now.
That's the fact, Jack.
Three squares a day.
Where's the great pay? Where's the beautiful women?
Army training, sir.
Bill Murray was bitching at him about that.
Man. So when you got out, it was you did the one tour in Kosovo, and then you got out. What did you do after you got out? Like, what did you go into immediately after you got out?
Well, while I was in, I still had a music career. I was trying to get going and played bluegrass, and as you'd mentioned, played banjo and guitar. And after that, started back up with the band I was in before Kosovo, and we started touring. Went out and toured a little bit with Willie Nelson, and grew my hair long, and did as many drugs as I could do, and you know, had a big old time.
What was the? There was a band you were in. It was, I think it was Wild Valley, something or the other.
Yeah, Wildwood Valley Boys. They were.
If you want to see a video of Mr. Wes Vanderpool, completely fucked up. Playing the band, go to YouTube and search that. Search his name and that band name, and it will come up. It's a glorious thing to see.
It's amazing. It's so amazing. Yeah.
So you toured with this band. You toured with Willie Nelson for a while. And you guys got nominated for a couple of Grammys even.
We did, yeah. We did a record with a few other bands at a place in Columbus, Ohio, for children against childhood cancer. I think St. Jude's.
St. Jude. It's a nonprofit hospital. Nonprofit cancer hospital.
We did a big recording for that, us and a couple other bands, and got nominated for one Grammy, and then the next band I joined put out a record, and that record got nominated as well.
You know what the common denominator there is.
What was that?
That's you. It's you, man.
Yeah.
It's all you.
So, if any bluegrass bands are out there going, why the hell haven't we been nominated for a Grammy? You need to collect up Wes Vanderpool.
That's right. Yeah. Right. If the price is right, I can be had.
There's a wrestling reference there somewhere. Ted DiBiase.
It's there somewhere. So after you decided to temporarily set down the banjo, you went to school and started doing stuff with IT and whatnot, right?
I did, yeah. I not too long after I left music, moved to Colorado, started going to school at Colorado State and got a degree in cybersecurity, and got a job as a network security engineer, where I've been for 8 years as of today.
Damn. Man.
Time just flies, huh?
Yeah, no lie.
It does.
So, and we'll get into Satanism here in a minute, but let's go back to your military experience.
Yeah.
The 6 years obviously came at a very formative part of your life. How did that affect you moving forward, both in music and then in cybersecurity?
It gave me a drive and just, you know, a never quit attitude about everything. And, you know, when music came about, I took music very seriously. And while the rest of the band wanted to go out and party, you know, I wanted to get our music down, make sure that we were ready to go for the next show. I enjoyed partying too, you know, but I was just as serious about that as I was. but just that drive and motivation, doing that and doing whatever it takes to succeed.
Well, obviously nobody goes on tour with Willie Nelson because I'm a tour party.
Yeah, man.
So when you went to college, did you use the GI Bill at all, or was that?
I did use it some. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just I used it and used student loans and just to get everything done as quickly as possible.
Right. Very cool. Yeah. So tell me, when did you first find out about Satanism?
Oh, man. This would have been 1998.
Okay.
I believe I was a 17-year-old, still playing music. And at the time, bluegrass is a very religious music at times. And my dad was a preacher and grew up in Kentucky, where the Bible Belt. And I just wasn't buying into all that bullshit. And then one day we had stopped at a bookstore in Richmond, Kentucky, and there it was sitting on the shelf. And I couldn't help but look. I was like, oh, there's the Satanic Bible, the evil book, And so I'm standing there reading it in the bookstore, and some of the other van guys came over, and I quickly put it down, trying to hide that. And
loser.
Yeah. and it struck a chord, the responsibility to the responsible thing really struck. And after going through the military and just seeing all the religious whack jobs in all walks of life, in music, in the military, I finally came back to it after I got out and reread it, and I was like, fuck, that's me, man. That there's nothing else to it. This is me, and immediately started filling out the application and getting things sent in, and called it been living the dream ever since, nothing but cocaine and hookers.
So you were familiar with Satanism when you got into the military, but you didn't really identify as a Satanist at that time.
No, I didn't identify as any religion at that point. Just filling out all the papers to do active duty and get deployed, I was just non-denominational.
Right, yeah. It's sometimes easier just to check whatever block and move
right,
on.
Yeah. Like, just, do the 20 copies, just get it done.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And so so you said you sent in the application, you joined the COS, and you just, about 2 years ago now is when you got recognized for your active membership, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So walk us through both of those. Like, what... once you'd read it, once you said, all right, fuck it, I'm a Satanist. I mean, it's right here in the book.
Yeah.
What made you say, then, I want to take that extra step and join the Church of Satan?
It was a couple different things. Reading more of the books, I think Secret Life of a Satanist and the history, Blanche Barton's book on the Church of Satan, and, started collecting every piece of... documentation, as it were, every book I could find. And then watching Adam Campbell's podcast, Reverend Campbell's podcast, and catching just some other podcasts that I had seen. I think not too long before that I met you online, and just seeing all the accomplishments that Satanists were doing, it just made me really, really proud, really proud of the organizations. Like, that's something I want to contribute to and be involved in and, do something for someday.
Yeah, right on. And I assume it was just a kind of a follow-up feeling to that made you want to fill out the active membership application and all that. It was just... I want to do more now. I want to do more. I want to get more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just wanted to get out there as much as I could, and through the process of getting to know other Satanists and getting to know Reverend Campbell and developing a friendship, and then doing podcasts with him and whatnot. It was, you know, it was like, yeah, I need to get the active membership done, and you know, see if I can't be a part of representing Satanism in the best light that I can.
Yeah, it's pretty badass, man, to go from a banjo playing bluegrass musician. Yeah, not that there aren't bluegrass musicians in the COS. I mean, I think I love bluegrass music. Obviously, Wes does. I'm sure other people do.
Get him with his banjo together with Darren.
That would be bad.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Darren is unbelievable with the way he plays.
He's amazing. He actually played in Denver out here, and so we went and saw them.
He did three shows here in Ohio, I believe.
Really? Oh, nice. But yeah, he was amazing getting to meet him, and I just you know, I didn't want to bug him too much, so I didn't take an instrument, but. But getting to see him play and introducing my kids to their music was a lot of fun. And he scared the shit out of my 8-year-old. Oh, yeah. She was all excited. And, you know, when we meet them, both my daughters, 8 and a 4-year-old, they run up and hug both of them. And then when the show starts, my 8-year-old looks at me and it's like, oh, shit, I'm scared. I was like, no, it's cool.
I actually had a similar experience, because I've gone to see Darren play numerous times now, both here in Ohio, down in Kentucky, all around. And this last show that he played at the end of the tour here in Ohio, I took my daughter to for the first time. And she's a very timid. I love my daughter to death, but she's very timid and shy.
And, she don't seem like it online.
And Ethel was actually the one who ran up and gave her a big hug.
Oh, nice.
I got her into it. And now, to this day, she can't stop playing the wedding funeral.
You know, the only reason why I didn't make it to that show was Darren messaged me, and he told me we had no power that night. Yep. Remember the storm?
I was 10 minutes outside of the city. I was 10 minutes outside of the city when I got his message. Same thing. And right as we pulled into the parking lot is when the power came back on. So it was kind of awesome.
Wow. That's the only reason why I didn't make it is because...
Oh. But yeah, man, it's an incredible story you got there. And yeah. It kind of reminds me of one of our fellow podcasters, Blake from The Demented One. Our listeners are familiar with that. They're starting to make a little comeback. And he recently got a few people to sign on to help him out with that, and one of them was Magister Bill Lynn. Yes, Radio Free Satan's own Magister Bill Lynn.
Oh yeah.
He actually wrote something just recently.
Shits?
For the Dementedness. It's addressing the claim that the COS doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And when I first got involved back in the early 2000s in the COS, my instant thought was the COS doesn't need to do anything. It's Satanists who should be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of took that thought and expounded on it a million times more, to the point where, of course, the Church of Satan is doing something. Look at what we're all doing. I mean, right here in this podcast, you have 4 veterans. You have a multitude of backgrounds from music to IT to... still working to this day, either with the military or with Veterans Affairs, whatever. I mean, you have a wealth of experience of people just fucking doing shit right here in this podcast that you're listening to. And we are a tiny, tiny representation of what's happening in the Church of Satan as a whole.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all behind the scenes. You'll never know who out there is or is not a member unless they want to be known. But it's right. All in the shadows. All in the shadows.
And I take this directly from Mama Satan. Mama Satan says that you won't find any finer... Well, I don't know how she actually put it, because it was a couple years ago at Devil's Reign, but she basically said you won't find a Satanist better than Bill M. that knows Satanism and actually gets it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The man gets it, he knows it, and if you're going to try to mentee off of somebody, that is who you want to look at. The man is, he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The smarts the man has. I mean, if he tells you something, he's telling you from fact, and it's no bullshit, and he's not, you know.
And we are not being pressured by Radio Free Satan to say this. Bill Lynch is actually that awesome.
Yes, he is.
That's right. Bill M is great.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about some veterans news. And to our dear producer, Mr. J. Nothing, if you're going to insert something about like the comedy hour, this would probably be the break to do that.
Okay.
We'll see you guys in a few minutes.
Take a trip back to the 1980s with me, Warlock Jeff Ivins, on the Metro Radio Free Satan's show, highlighting the new wave and other hits from the indulgent decade, only on RadioFreeSatan.com.
This is Reverend Gene, the host of Vox Satane, exclusively on Radio Free Satan. Join me every week as we indulge in the classical side of music spanning the past 1,000 years. Vox Satane has already featured over 700 composers covering medieval, baroque, classical, romantic, and contemporary music, including chant, choral, opera, keyboard, and orchestral music, with composers ranging from Gluck to Gilmour, Bach to Bellavance, Talis to Taverner, and Paganini to Pärt. Get your weekly recommended dose of classical music right here on Vox Satane, only on Radio Free Satan, with me, Reverend Gene. Hail Satan.
Sorry if anyone here is Catholic. I'm not sorry if you're offended. I'm actually sorry just the fact that you're Catholic. Gotta be one of the most ludicrous fucking beliefs ever. Like these vampire priests sink their twin fangs of guilt and sin into you as a child and suck your joy of life out of you the rest of your fucking existence. And I love watching the Pope bounce around in his little Pope-mobile. That's got to be hoot number one on my fucking CNN list. Just, I want a whole show of the Pope just bouncing around in that all-terrain Pope-mobile with the 3 feet of bulletproof plexiglass around him. Boy, there's faith in action.
This is Reverend Bill M, and that little bit of comedic blasphemy was brought to you by The Devil's Mischief, comedy that's not made for the masses. Listen to the show The Devil's Mischief on RadioFreeSatan.com.
Attention iTunes users, if you like this show and other programs from Radio Free Satan, then please take a moment to look us up on iTunes to rate and comment on the program. You can also do the same on Stitcher.com. Look up this program on Stitcher.com, rate it, and give us a review. And that's if you like the show, of course, you know, that you want to give it 5 stars and a good review, not, you know, give it 1 star and say a bunch of mean things. But hey, if you want to do that, then I'm sure there are a bunch of Christian podcasts on iTunes that you could do that on. Anyway, thank you for your support of RadioFreeSatan.com, and now back to the program.
And welcome back to the Infernal Legion podcast. Mr. Wes Vanderpool has decided to stick around and weigh in on some of the news topics we have today. But before we do that, our good friend, our co-host here, Dwayne Burns, wants to give a shout-out to a very special company who takes care of the secrets in your lives.
I have got to send out a great shout-out to Magister Frost and the lovely Zoe for all they're doing over at Satan Me. I've gotten a few messages from people asking me, you know, the quality and how long it takes to get your stuff. I tell you what, Lex gets your stuff. If you don't know, Magister Frost's name is Lex, sorry. Lex gets your stuff. Next day, it's in the mail, and you'll have it in 2 days. The stuff is quality. It's great quality. There's new sterling silver stuff coming out, new 999 silver stuff coming out that Zoe personally does. Go over to Satan.
It's cheap. It's cheap. It's insanely cheap.
Well, they're not
in quality, but I mean,
they're not there to make a shitload of, huh?
I was saying not in quality, in price.
Well, they're not there to break you and, you know, and try to get $600 for a bracelet or something, you know?
Right.
And the thing about it is they're actually, I saw earlier today, they were talking about doing chalices and gongs and stuff like that.
They're going to be doing multicolored Baphomet necklaces. They're very reasonably priced, and they're very trustworthy. It's done by the man, Lex Frost. He's the one who started the Satanic website, started the Satanic Emporium years and years and years ago. And go over to SatanMe.com and check it out, guys, because yep. There's a lot of great stuff over there. Brand new wall plaques. We used to do wall plaques in thick wood. I've got one on my wall that weighs about 40 pounds that they now... You can see it right behind me, the guys. You guys that are on the show here. It weighs you guys about 40 pounds.
Yeah.
We don't like you that much.
Yeah.
But it's there.
And the ones he's doing now are metal, and I mean, it's just it's a really good thing. Go over to SatanMe.com, check it out.
Well,
it's like
Magic Frost always says, you know, if Satan is you, Satan is me, Satan is us individually.
Yep.
So for the Satanist in your life who needs some pretty swag, make sure you check out SatanMe.com.
And if you search hard enough on there's a lot of good music from old artists that we've had in the COS that are departed and whatnot. I'm not going to mention names, but it's good music.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, he's got all kinds of good stuff
there. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we're in the news. We have to make a correction, and unlike the mainstream media, we're not media, but...
Unlike the calendar out, Jeff's making a mistake, and he's admitting it. I'm going to get out my calendar and declare it a national holiday.
We done fucked up, ladies and gentlemen. We done fucked up. It wasn't just us, though. The VA also fucked up. And I'm going to tell you what. I know. So we reported, I think it was last month, and the month before that, actually, that the numbers of veteran suicides had dropped from 22 a day, which has been a big, you know, calling card for most vets, you know, the 22 a day push-ups and things like that, down to 20. And then recently the VA reported they had dropped down to 17. There's a problem with it. And the problem is that, according to the Military Times, it's the reporting of these suicides is inaccurate. It turns out that it's not 17 a day, nor is it 20 a day, nor is it 22 a day. The actual number is much higher than that. But we don't know what the number is because the VA stopped reporting active duty, National Guard, and reservist suicides along with veteran suicides. So this is a good point to kind of clear the air a little bit on what being a veteran actually means. And under the U.S. Code, once you have signed your contract and entered service and essentially completed your initial entry training and become a full-fledged soldier, sailor, airman, marine, you are automatically considered a veteran. Now, the status of you as a veteran could change depending on your type of discharge or whatever, what have you, but you are a veteran nonetheless as soon as that is done. So the VA should have been reporting the numbers of active duty, National Guard, and reservist suicides along with the numbers of separated or retired suicides. And again, the disturbing part about this is we don't know how high that number is, but we know that it's higher than the 22 that we've been talking about for a very long time.
I did read something on this, Jeff, and I was saving it for a year. I didn't want to get into it earlier.
Yeah,
it has something to do with the lawsuits that are going against the opioid, the pharmaceuticals, because all the opiates that the veterans are being given and then being taken away, and these vets are either turning to heroin or not understanding what's going on in their bodies with the withdrawals, and then turning around and just saying, fuck it, I'm done, and killing themselves. They're withholding that information because of litigation that's going on. That's right. So, where that may fit.
There we go. Got my microphone back on. and you're right. There's obviously some additional fudging of the numbers. This is just what the Military Times was reporting, but certainly anything that's in current litigation or whatever can't be reported as well. So again, this number could be as high as 40 or 50 a day.
Yeah.
What we do know from the Military Times article is that in the year 2017, which is the last year we have available data for, that suicides among veterans of all types, whether that's active duty, National Guard, reservists, separated or retired veterans, increased 4 times from the year prior to that, from the reporting year prior. So it was basically a jump of almost 50%.
So if you're looking at your low number of 17, now you're looking at 68.
Yep.
Exactly. And then some additional statistics that are...
And that's a day?
No, that was over the course of the year. That was just
over the year. Yeah. 17 a year? That don't even sound right.
No, that was the year, 2017.
Oh,
I'll... I hate to laugh, but that's not how many people commit suicide.
Hey, I was the one who made the Jesus saves joke, okay? Get it.
I still say he passed to Moses.
According to outside studies that the Military Times quotes here, veterans are 1.5 times more likely, male veterans are 1.5 times more likely to die by suicide than Americans who never served in the military, and female veterans are 2.2 times more likely to commit suicide. Those numbers
females
show,
on the high end?
Yep.
Yeah. Which is actually relatively opposite from the civilian statistics, in which more males commit suicide than females.
That's why I asked.
Yeah. And of course, National Director of Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation for the American Legion, not the Infernal Legion. We don't have one of those. but for the American Legion, and I'm going to butcher this name, so I apologize in advance, but Chenin Nuntavong said, this is a pretty obvious quote, but I'm still going to quote him because it actually does, you know, it's a true statement. Our takeaway from all this is that what we are doing is not working. Everyone has been focused on this, but we're not seeing results. And that's a really scary problem, because he's right. Over the last, say, 10 years, the suicide prevention efforts from every VSA, from the Department of Defense, from the Department of Veterans Affairs, to private individuals who have taken up this cause and started donating money and setting up suicide prevention hotlines, this problem has been addressed probably 100 times more than it ever has been in the past, and yet nothing's changing. And that's the really unfortunate part about this. So let's turn it over to you guys. What are your thoughts on all this? What are your thoughts on the way they're reporting this, about cutting out the active duty and guard and reservists, and about the problem itself and how it's not changing? Like, what do you think we can do?
Unfortunately, I don't think there's much we can do except intervention beforehand and finding out what's going on with the vets that are feeling that way. I mean, you know, I'm bipolar, so, you know, I've got a history of suicide thoughts on my end, okay? So unless you can catch them beforehand, which is kind of hard to do, because usually, I mean, you look at the people who've committed suicide that not in the military, like Robin Williams and stuff like that, you know, they're all happy people.
And who would have ever thought Robin Williams is going to go and hang himself?
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I knew an auxiliary member of the American Legion. She killed herself by popping pain pills. You know, and she was just the bubbliest little person you'd ever see. So it's basically just keeping an eye on our brothers and sisters and, you know, making sure that they're okay.
Well, these doctors, they need better training as well. I mean, who yes. am I to say a doctor who's gone for 10 years, 12 years, whatever, to college? But, you know, these doctors that will sit you down, and this is supposed to be your psychiatrist and your psychologist. Psychiatrist mm-hmm. gives the meds, psychologist talks to you.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that I hate when I go into the VA is when this cocksucker sits me down and says, "Yes, I understand. I understand everything you're going through. I can relate." Yeah, bullshit, you can relate. I was over firing bullets and you were sitting in a class with your nose in a goddamn textbook. You can't relate to shit that I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to become better educated with what I'm going through. This doctor, I mean, you got one doctor listening to my problems, the psychologist, and then he's running over to the psychiatrist saying, write him this prescription. And the psychiatrist don't know shit. All he's doing is, because he's the licensed person who can write the prescription, is doing it. And, you know, you're giving people wrong meds. The yeah. pain meds, the opiates. I mean, I'm so pissed off at that because of my situation in the past. I bitch about that every podcast. every guy.
But you know what? Somehow it's always poignant.
And yeah. you know, it what?
I said somehow it's always poignant.
Yes, it is. Because these sons of bitches are getting our people hooked on these meds and then turning around and pulling them off of them and then saying, go do it yourself.
Yeah.
And then my buddy Jeff comes over and says, hey, man, check out this shit, man. Jab this into your vein and this is going to take care of you.
By the way, his buddy Jeff is not me nor Jay Nelson.
Well, you're the closest to me, Jeff. I was going to turn it into a joke, you bastard. But, you know, hey, look at this. I got this cannabis in your vein, and now you got a guy hooked on heroin, or worse off, he's got no meds. He's never felt withdrawal before. He don't know what he's going through. And guess what? Boom! And he kills himself. More education to these sons of bitches is what I'm saying. And, you know, better understanding to be able to relate, and don't tell me that you understand what I'm going through when you have no fucking idea.
Right. Yeah. What do you think, Wes? Have you known a lot of people you serve with that have committed suicide or anything?
I've known one really well that I was in Kosovo with, and after we came back, that unit was sent to Afghanistan, and my squad there, they hit an IED and killed one of the guys, and the guys that did come back, they were all, you know, just fucked up physically and mentally. And one guy, I knew, it was the very same experience. It was almost like an assembly line, or like the doctors at the VA were trying to meet a quota, you know, just in and out. You know, oh, we understand, and then it's right out the door. And, it's the same thing. It's people you wouldn't think would do it, or, you know, they don't have the appearance that anything's wrong. And
Give some of us vets that have been in combat education to become psychologists. Maybe not to give out pills, but to be psychologists. Sure. So that I can say I understand, and you can say, yeah, you do understand.
You know what, that's actually a really good point, because the GI Bill, as it currently stands, as it currently sits, the GI Bill only gives you 36 months of college. You can extend that with the Voc Rehab Program for an additional 12 months, but to become a licensed, like, therapist takes way longer than that. Right. So, I mean, you're right. Not a lot of people can afford to become psychologists who actually can identify with what these vets
are. But your Voc Rehab only kicks in, I believe, after 20%.
Yep.
Of 20% disabled.
Yeah, and that's...
Ms. Dryden isn't even eligible for it yet. Right, we're going to get him eligible.
For sure.
But I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it gets me hot. It gets me upset.
Sometimes. And there's no catch-all response to this. And there's certainly, you know, from a satanic standpoint, you know, it says right in the Satanic Bible that the only time suicide should be considered is if your life is just completely unbearable. But that's kind of open-ended. There's no way that we can judge whether someone's life has become completely unbearable. And I think in a lot of cases, their life is still pretty bearable if they would just be able to focus on the good things in their life. And I think that, to me, what's the important part has always been is on if it's not a responsibility, but I kind of take it as a responsibility to look out for my battle buddies, because nobody knows them. Nobody can identify with them better than people who have served with them, who have spent countless hours training, living, fighting, eating right next to this person. If anyone can catch those signs, it's us.
Yeah.
And I feel still to this day that I have a responsibility to my battle buddies to look out for.
Exactly.
There's been, and I will mention no names, but there are a few guys in the last few years through the COS that we've seen that have done this that we would have never expected to do it.
Yep, that's true.
Never in a million years. This guy, he's successful. He's written books. You know, I'm giving an example of somebody truly who did it. I'm just not saying names, but he's written books. This guy's done this. You'd have never seen it coming.
Yeah.
And it's right. Just, I don't know.
If it's
something that you want to do, you want to kill yourself, I believe, as a Satanist, you got a right to do it because that is what you are doing your life. Yes, you're supposed to live your life to the fullest. Yes, you only get one life. Yes, indulgence rather than abstinence. All that good stuff. But if your life is that unbearable and that's what you want to do, I believe people have the right to do it. But get some help first. Talk to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point.
It's final. You fucking do it, it's final. There is no do-overs. There is no, oh, I did it, now I want to go talk to Dwayne.
Right.
It ain't happening.
Right. Oh, damn, so, I shouldn't have done that.
You've got the right to do anything you want as a Satanist, as long as you got the right to go murder somebody. But you take responsibility for your actions. You go to the electric chair. You go to the fucking lethal injection table. Whatever.
Right.
Draw a quarter. Responsibility for the response. I'm sorry. I'm talking. Go ahead.
I like Jeff's idea. Draw and quarter them.
I wait for.
I do want to be very clear that I think not even Satanists feel you have the right to murder anybody, but whatever.
No.
I do. I'm just fucking with this
man. Remember the disclosure at the beginning of the program. By our people on the show are not necessarily of the Church of Satan.
But I do feel like, and again, I keep coming back to that, and I do it once every quarter, basically once every 3 months. I'll make a post that I limit only to people who are veterans on my Facebook, and I just simply say, like, you know, sit rep or battle buddy check, whatever. And sometimes things like, I've had way too many of the guys that I serve with go through this. And one glaring example, and I'm not going to mention his name either. I'm not going to, you know, draw anybody out in public. But I was talking to him via text message, and he was having a hard time, but I didn't think he was there yet, you know? He was just having a hard time.
He was on the phone all the time, and I talked to him personally.
And he wanted to chat, and so we were just texting back and forth. And as far as I knew, when I said, "Hey man, I gotta go to bed, brother. It was good talking to you, whatever," I felt like he was okay. Mm-hmm. And 2 hours later, I got a phone call from another battle buddy who lives about 2 hours away from him, saying, "I'm on my way there right now. His wife just called me, said he's hanging in the bedroom."
Oh, that
ain't
the
one. And it's just at the time, you know, I was still fresh out. You know, I had no idea what to look for, what the signs were. As far as I could tell, he just wanted to talk. you know? And hey, that's what we're here for, to talk to our battle buddies. But maybe, maybe when they think that the conversation should be over, maybe it shouldn't be. You know, if your battle buddy reaches out to you, keep them on the phone as long as you can. And you know what? Call the cops if you feel it's really that bad.
That's who I thought you were talking about.
No, no, no.
Because he calls me, all the time, and I'll sit and talk to him for hours on the phone.
Yeah, no, no. This was a guy actually.
I apologize for that, for interjecting and saying, "Oh, I know who that is."
But yeah, so he, you know, he did the deed, and even his buddy, who lived 2 hours away, couldn't get there in time. Wow. So I mean, it's just, I really feel like a big, again, you know, it's responsibility that's responsible, but I feel responsible.
Yeah.
For the people that I serve with, especially for the ones who served under me while I was it's a hard situation. But I do want to turn this a little bit and talk about the VA not reporting these fucking numbers correctly, because that is some bullshit that kind of they tried to paint themselves in a good light, like what they're doing is working, and it's not. And the only way that we can solve problems like this is if we know what works and what doesn't.
And them not talking and them not giving the right numbers goes right into your next news story.
Yes, it does.
And that next news story is about them giving information to third
party. People that shouldn't,
so not only are they giving the correct numbers, but they're giving too many numbers they shouldn't be. Final thought on the suicide thing. If you are feeling it, please reach out to somebody. Reach out to somebody you serve with. Reach out to the hotline. So on and so forth. So now we find out, this is October 2nd, is what was reported, that the Department of Veterans Affairs is going to be sharing veterans' health information with non-VA doctors. Now, the way this works is what they're doing is that they're sending your medical records to a doctor you may see who's not affiliated with the VA. However, instead of asking your permission to do that, which they have done from time immemorial since HIPAA started until now, they have requested, or they've made you fill out the proper forms for your outside the VA doctor to get a hold of your medical records. Now they're going to share them, and you're opted in unless you fill out a form to opt out of that program.
Jeez.
But if you opt out of that program, does that not opt you out of using non-VA facilities?
It does indeed.
That's where the catch 22 is, and that's what I read in the article.
Yep.
You opt out of that, not allowing them to share that information. You opt out of allowing yourself to use non-VA doctors.
Mm-hmm. And there are things that this may not seem like a huge deal on the surface. You're like, oh, well, you're going to see a doctor. Why wouldn't you want them to see your whole medical history? But there are things from your military history that you may not want a doctor. Like, I don't want my dentist, who was giving me my annual teeth cleaning, to know necessarily about the shrapnel in my knee. You know, like, this is not a valid thing for this dentist to know. But the shootout
that I had outside of BIOP, and this many people went down. You don't need to know that.
And another thing that this affects is that if you're seeing a psychiatrist, because some states are now doing this, and I'm not going to have a debate about gun control and all that.
That's where it's going.
If you are seeing a psychiatrist who is not a part of the VA, they now have access to all your medical records, including possibly your PTSD results, which they can use then to say that you should be
blacklisted.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there's a lot of privacy concerns with this one, and to Dwayne's point, there isn't a good option. Like, so you can opt out if you fill out the VA form 10-10164. You can opt out of this medical sharing program, but once you do that, you no longer have access to the VA funds to see that outside doctor. The VA doesn't cover it, basically. So,
unless it's an emergency,
which is always the
emergencies always take precedence.
So this is under the Mission Act, which I initially I supported, because the idea behind the Mission Act was that you may not be able to get the proper care through the VA, but you could get from a private physician, and so the VA would continue to pay for that, which I think is a great idea. clearly in execution, this is not working out. So, no. So what are you guys' thoughts about this? Like, are you going to opt out? Are you gonna stay in this?
I haven't decided yet. Silence.
How do I put it and not take one side or another?
I think everyone is doing it.
People online who have seen my posts know how I feel about any of us having an AK-47 or an AR-15. I've used them in war. I've seen what they do to people. I've shot people. I've taken care of people who have been wounded by AK-47 fire coming my way. I don't believe that. And this is my opinion, not of the Church of Satan, or not of everybody on this program. This is Satanist Dwayne Burns' opinion. I don't believe any of us need to have those fucking guns. They're made to turn people to hamburger. I can easily take my .38, a guy come in the house and shoot him in the fucking knee, and he's not going to do nothing. And he's down on the ground, and he's there until the cops get there. And I didn't have to turn him into hamburger with my AR-15 or my AK-47. That guy's going to jail. He's not going in a casket. So I really don't have an issue with them knowing and me not being able to buy a fucking assault rifle or something like that.
But there are people that, you know, I know people that shouldn't be having a gun. They've got them.
Well, people should have a gun and got them. That's not being the proper Satanist. That's not being responsible.
No, they're not.
Responsibility of the responsible. They're being people who are breaking the law, knowingly breaking the law, and saying, fuck it. Laugh at me. I don't get these words of it. I'm telling you, we're the bear shits in the buckwheat.
Well, I'm laughing only because you honed in on one specific part about what this
yes. effect.
Well, go because, for it. I mean,
there are many other things that could be affected by this. Like, for example, I don't know if you guys remember or not, but there was back in 2009-ish. There was the federal no-fly list as part of the Patriot Act. And any veteran who had been diagnosed with PTSD was automatically put on the watch for them.
Really?
Yeah. Now, they corrected that action. They corrected that action once it came to light, once it became public. But this could spark off the same type of thing, you know? And obviously, gun control is one of the things that it could affect. But at the same time, you're kind of left in a rock and a hard place because, you know, if I could get better care from a civilian doctor than I could from a VA doctor, I want the better care. But there's a risk. There's a privacy risk that could lead into a whole bunch more. So it's a lot of times
it's easier, too. It's easier for you to go to Mount Gilead Hospital than to go down to Chalmers.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Mount Gilead is a local. He and I live about 20 minutes from each other.
Mount Gilead's right about in the middle, basically. Tomorrow, Tucky. But anyway, go ahead, Wes.
This seems like another a classic example of the VA taking something that is really good in theory and a good idea and just fucking the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't think it's a VA that did that. I think it's the politicians who did that.
Yeah, that is probably more accurate. Is the VA gets the blame because they're the face of it, but it's
the politicians that screwed it up.
Yeah.
This is the way we will make it happen. This is the way the NRA will accept it. This is the way this certain political party will accept it if you do it this way.
Well, I will say this, since I'm going to take my liberty right now. I'm going to step on my soapbox for a minute. Because we let Dwayne jump on his with assault rifle, so I'm going to jump on mine real quick. I don't trust any politician from any political party. And the reason why is case in point with shit like this right here, because we just elected over 75% for the first time in history, over 75% of Congress are veterans. And yet, the VA is still doing shit like this. So something in the system is clearly fucking broken.
Well, this is the reason. Your 75% is in the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives has 435 seats.
I like that. That was really good. We should work on that.
They write the laws and they send it over to the Senate. The Senate is 100 people. Those are mostly all Republicans who are against what those 400 and... How many, Jeff?
35.
435 people said, who were mostly all veterans.
Yeah, but
so you send it over there, you have one that writes the law, that okays the law, and then you send it to the president to sign.
Time out. If it was a partisan issue...
It is a partisan issue.
It is not a partisan issue. It is not at all. Bullshit. It is not a partisan issue.
All bullshit.
If it were a partisan issue, with 75% of the House of Representatives being veterans... Most veterans, by the way, by the polls, vote Republican. So, if it were a partisan issue, those Republicans in the House would have sway with the Republicans in the Senate. It's not a partisan issue. It is literally an issue of they don't give a fuck about us.
This is
thank you.
Yes, they don't give a fuck about us. You're right, because they're taken care of right now. But then this gets way off on the thing, but it's the same thing they're having with this impeachment thing they're going to try to do. You got the 435 people over here who are going to say we want it, and then 100 people over here who are of a different party who says, well, it's not happening, we're stopping it right here. And the president gives you the big fuck you. That's partisan. It's the same thing that's happening with the other stuff.
It really isn't, though. It really is not a partisan issue. It really is not. And you can point to specific congressmen and women on both sides of the aisle who you can tell actually care about
politics. Right.
They are, and they will always be, whether they're veterans or not, in the minority. Because the only time it helps anyone to trot out the "I'm going to take care of the vets" card is in an election cycle.
Right.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter what party. It could be the Democrats, the Republicans, the Libertarians, the Green Party, the fucking Nazi Party, whatever you got going on in America. They're all going to say, "We'll take care of the vets" when they're trying to get elected. And then they look at the mound of shit that is involved with the VA and they go, "Yeah,
holy fuck." You have to let everybody know Satanist Dwayne Burns is not of any party. He basically is independent. If this Republican says something I like, I listen to him. If this Democrat says something he likes, I listen to him. I am of no party affiliation, and I am not supporting any party.
Oh, man. So I say, like, the way that I would handle this, now mind you, this is just pipe dreaming and whatnot. If I was in charge of the VA, the way I would handle this is I would simply say, you go to any doctor you want to see, we'll pay for your initial visit, right? If you determine that that provider is who you want to continue your care, then request your medical records from the VA and we'll cover it. Now, if that provider, and you have to have a network, obviously, because there are some providers out there that are very high-end providers that only, like, you know, the top 1% of the 1% of the 1% have access. If you're going to see that provider, maybe we need to talk about the budget.
You mean the doctors that the president's wife goes to see for a kidney problem and comes out with tits three sizes larger?
Wait. I'm talking about, like, the doctors that go visit the Rothschilds on the weekend. You know, those kinds of doctors.
The real rulers of the world.
Yep.
But yeah, so for the purely informational point, and I do want everyone to understand this who's listening, this begins, whether you like it or not, on January 2020. And if you are a veteran who is in the VA system for anything, it affects you. You are automatically opted in. If you want to opt out, you need to fill out and turn in VA form 10-0525.
And that's a standard request form for anything.
Yeah. And
if you want to put that number in your notebook, Jeff, that is a standard request form for anything.
Yes.
And hold on, I'm trying to find the other form, because there you have to fill that form out and a secondary form that I mentioned earlier. VA form 10-10164.
It says use the correct form.
So you have to fill out the first form to request, and the second form, which is the VA form 10-10164, is what opts you out completely. But understand that once you do that, the VA will no longer pay for your private care. Unless, as Mr. J. Nothing said, it is
an emergency.
Well, that's federal law. It doesn't matter, VA or anything. That's federal law. Something happens to me here. I have a heart attack, and they run down to Mount Vernon Hospital. They have to take care of me.
Right.
They have to stabilize me. It's
federal and the law. VA, they have to pay.
Right. It doesn't matter where your financial is. They have to stabilize you. So that has nothing to do with it.
Fucking VA healthcare is a mess, I'll tell you what. But actually, while we're on the topic, Dwayne, you're the only person on this podcast who's retired. So your primary care physician is the VA for the most part.
I actually am signed up with the state of Ohio. They actually gave me four different choices of healthcare providers, like United Healthcare. There's like a bunch of other.
Yeah.
And I actually have insurance through the state of Ohio that provides me glasses, provides me dental, and provides me with the hospital. Now, granted, it's all at a bare minimum, but I have a private doctor in Mount Vernon.
Okay.
But I also have the VA that I go see once every 3 months or whatever, just to touch bases with them, just to let them know I'm alive. Because if you don't go see the VA, your file will go into a dead zone.
Yeah, they pretend you don't exist anymore.
You'll have to go through the whole clusterfuck of reapplying as if it was day one at that hospital. I need to be seen in Chalmers Hospital, Chalmers P. Wiley. That's the one in Columbus, Ohio. I need to be seen. Well, sorry, sir, you're not in our record system. And they give you this packet that's 4 inches thick. So you do have to keep up and go see them every 3-6 months, whatever, or they'll throw you in a non-existent pile.
Sound like you don't exist anymore, yep, for sure.
You might have been one of those suicides that they don't keep on file, whatever.
Oh, God damn it! I hate myself that I laughed at that.
I try to make jokes no matter how dark they are. We know that I'm only joking and trying to bring light to the bullshit that is our situation.
Well, vets are one of those segments of the population who naturally have a dark sense of humor. And that maybe, I'm not saying this in an official capacity by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe if the veteran that you are concerned about stops making darkly humorous jokes, maybe that's a warning sign that something's wrong.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's yeah.
giving up on it. He's like, oh, well.
Right?
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
So Wes, being former National Guard, mm-hmm. what is, if any, your experience with the VA healthcare system?
I have very, very little experience with that. I've considered going to have my knee checked out a couple times. I fucked my knee up while I was in, and just hearing the stories of all the bullshit you have to, the hoops you have to jump through and all that, I'm always hesitant to actually go.
Well, the sooner you do it, the sooner you get an effective date. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like It's like the guy who don't like to go in and get a tooth pulled because he hates the dentist.
Right.
You go in there, you get the initial bullshit done, and then it coasts pretty easy after that. They'll send you paperwork. You just have to be sure to sign it. They tell you they want to see you for an appointment. You ensure that you show up for that appointment.
Right.
If you don't show up for the appointment or you don't sign said piece of paper and send it back to them, they just mark your effective date back to a new effective date, and you've lost 6-8 months of back pay that you could have got if you were to ever get your money.
Right.
I always made sure that anything they sent me, I sent back to them, or I got, you know, I got down to the VFW and said, hey, I need a ride, I'm homeless, I need a ride down to the fucking local VA hospital for an appointment, I need this, they would hook my ass up.
Right.
So, I mean, you just, everything's going to depend on how badly you want to do it.
Right.
And if
you don't have a need for it, don't do it. If you don't want to deal with the bullshit, don't do it. I'm not going to pressure you into it, but it's there, and you have the right to it. It's there, and you should utilize it.
There is one thing that is a given. It's 100% a given. If you developed an injury at any point in your life, the older you get, the worse that injury is going to become.
Right. Yes.
And if you developed it in the military, well, the military is going to take care of it. But you got to go through the steps. So
the longer you wait and the worse it gets, the harder it is to prove that you did it.
Sure, absolutely. Yep. But speaking specifically to Wes at this point in time, I do highly recommend that if you have knee problems from the military, talk to Dwayne as soon as we stop recording here. Talk to Dwayne, see what kind of paperwork you can fill out, and get that shit taken care of, you know?
Yeah, because
it's only going to get worse.
That's no doubt.
Hell, I helped a guy out here 2 weeks ago. He still thought he had a general discharge, and he couldn't own any weapons, and found out he's got an honorable discharge.
Oh, wow.
Because I went
and through. Now he's got an AK-47 and now he's got an AK-47.
But he found out through what I told him and his investigations that, wow, his general discharge was actually an honorable. So I mean,
the reason I asked you,
I'll give you the information and I'm happy to help you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it.
Well, and the reason I asked you directly about that, Wes, is I find that often it's people who are in the Guard or the Reserves that are, they maybe feel like the VA doesn't have anything for them, or that's not part of their whatever, and that is absolutely not the case, you know? Like, to anybody listening, if you were in the Guard or the Reserves, you're just as much a veteran as everyone else. The programs that you have access to might be a little bit different, but there are programs for you.
Okay. If those injuries happened to you while you were in AT or while you were in Kosovo, they happened while you were on active duty. You were not in the National Guard. You go to AT, you are active duty. You are on orders.
Yeah.
So all that puts you in different categories, you know, and they're going to ask you, were you on active duty? Well, no, I was in the National Guard for 6 years. But in reality, you busted that knee at AT. Mm-hmm. AT is annual training. It's a nice 2-week field trip that the National Guard and Army Reserve give their soldiers, for those of you who don't know.
Another thing, too, is that a lot of these injuries that guards and reservists get, they actually begin or they start in basic training in EIT, which is also federal service. You know,
absolutely. Right?
So, yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff. Dwayne Burns is here. The Infernal Legion is here. We will help walk you through this shit. Absolutely. And don't fucking commit suicide. God damn it.
No.
Right. Well, yeah, so first and foremost, Wes Vanderpool, thank you very much for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. Pleasure getting to meet Dwayne virtually and get to speak to the two Jeffs again.
Jeffs, you are the Jeffs of the Church of Satan.
That's right.
Yes. The Jeff from hell.
Dwayne, always a pleasure talking to you, my friend. And you too, brother. Thank you very much for always producing this show. And you know, until we get to I'm not even going to do a cheesy little outro. Let me talk about some real shit. Next month, November, Veterans Day, we have a huge thing planned. We're going to have a freeform show. There's going to be call-ins. There's going to be recorded, pre-recorded stuff from in front of Legionnaires. We're planning a big Veterans Day celebration right here on the podcast. Big
circle of jerks.
Yeah, basically. It's going to be on Veterans Day when you hear it, but it's going to happen well before Veterans Day.
Yes.
But yeah, it's going to be a great time, so make sure you tune in November 11th on Radio Free Satan. We're going to have the huge Veterans Day celebration right here in the Infernal Legion podcast. And until we can talk, you know, about all this again, until we get to that huge Veterans Day celebration, until we meet the next Wicked Warrior of the Month, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
And I didn't get the hail Satan, goddammit.